If you didn't sign the register, please do so and pass it down so people know we know you're here. And if you happen to be visiting with us today and you're looking for a church home, we do invite you to come and join this part of Christ Church. You can do so by restatement of your faith, by transfer of your church letter from another church, or by profession of faith and baptism. And there is a place to indicate that on the register. Let's pray for the message. It's always good to pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would take the words that I speak this morning and put some life into them for us. And if nothing else, to give us some understanding into our lives and our daily lives and all the busyness that goes with this season. In Jesus' name, amen. It's the Christmas season, and I've been in the ministry for 40 years, and with the Christmas season comes trouble for a lot of people. Many of us can put on a happy face, but behind the face there are troubles of life. And the 6 weeks that happen between Thanksgiving and Christmas seems to bring everything kind of home to roost, you might say. There are some people to whom Christmas is a real blessing, but for many of us, Christmas is truly a mixed blessing. It brings things home to roost. Now, it isn't that the problems and conflicts, losses, griefs, fears aren't there at other times of the year. But during this season, there's an intensity of feelings, problems, thoughts, conflicts, busyness. It seems that all of us get caught up in the intensity of living together. I think it is the fact that we're all experiencing some of the same things that brings a tremendous intensity to life. At this time of the year, truly all the hopes and fears of all the years are kind of brought together. And for some of us, it is just enough to persevere and get through it. The intensity of family conflicts, divorced people and their children, people who have lost members of family through death, business intensifies, darkness is upon the face of the land because there's very little daylight at this time of the year. And people get all stressed out for a thousand different directions, and some people actually snap. Now, I'm not telling you something you don't know, especially if you have to deal with family and friends in difficult situations, or your own memories, or your own loneliness, maybe despair, lack of hope, or whatever. This season intensifies life in all of us. And as I said, this isn't something new to a lot of you. I think I have distilled our problems, difficulties with this time of the year and also the rest of the year when all these problems are more scattered during the rest of the year, but at this time they come home, so to speak. And we are bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. I heard Frank Sinatra sing that song, Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. It's a song that he was singing about a new love in his life, and he had met a woman. His life had become bewitched, bothered, and bewildered in this new relationship. Basically, his life was up in the air. But when I hear that song, I got to thinking about those three words, bewitched, bothered, bewildered. And focused in those three words are the problems that we all face as God's people trying to live our lives as followers of Jesus, or just people in the world who don't know Jesus. We're all bewitched by Satan. We're bothered to death by the world that we live in, and we are bewildered by our own sinful nature. So today I want to at least show you your problems in light of these three sources, which are constantly destroying our peace of mind, stressing us out, driving us to distraction. And I speak to you who name Jesus as Savior and Lord, but if you don't know Jesus and you're a person of the world and who has just come into this worship service today, there's a message here for you as well. You may not know Jesus, but you are bewitched, bothered, and bewildered by the same things as followers of Jesus. So let's look at these distractions that cause us to lose focus in our lives. First, everybody here wants to know the answer to two basic questions during their life. And during the Christmas season, the way we answer these two questions really gets kind of tested. Everybody asks two questions in terms of their lives. And the two questions, who am I and what am I about? What is my purpose here in life? Those two questions have to do with your identity, who you are, and your purpose or meaning in life. What am I about? Now, we answer these questions in a lot of different ways. We can answer the question of who am I by our name, by our business, our religion, our talents, our stuff. Or we can answer the question that God gives to us for that answer. But the answers that we give for who we are that are related to this world give us an identity that can really be destroyed. If your identity is all wrapped up in your job, for instance, then if you lose your job, you lose your identity. You also lose your purpose in life. If you are a mother and your identity is all wrapped up in your children, then when they grow up and they leave, then you lose your purpose and your identity. How do you answer those two questions? Who am I? What am I about? What is my purpose or meaning in life? To those who have met Jesus face to face and receive Him as Savior and Lord, then you begin to discover that your true identity is not wrapped up in the things of this world like your job or your business or your family or your kids or your stuff or your money, but your eternal identity is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. If Jesus is living inside of you, you echo Paul's words more and more. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. For those who have met Jesus face to face and receive Him as Savior and begin to make Him Lord of their lives, their purpose comes out of their identity. Their purpose is to be God's man or woman in the world, and their purpose is to make their world, their job, their business, family, kids, stuff, and money have a God-given purpose in this life. For the followers of Jesus, your identity and purpose is all wrapped up in who Jesus is and what He gives you to do in this life. For people of the world, and I know some of you are here, your identity and purpose is in something else. Now, for the Christian, someplace between the conception of Jesus living inside of us, when we say, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God, and the end of life, when God says to us, well done, good and faithful servant, is a life of distractions in which we are literally bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. So if you're a follower of Jesus, between your receiving Jesus as Savior and you start that journey of following Jesus as Lord and the end of life, distractions come. We lose focus. We lose focus on the two questions. Who am I really? What am I about? What's my meaning in life? And we struggle with maintaining a clear understanding of our identity and purpose. And as I said, the distractions come from three sources. We are bewitched by Satan, bothered to no end by the world, and we get bewildered by our own sinfulness. The truth is that during this time of the year, these three sources of distractions intensify for all of us. First, we are bewitched by Satan. We are distracted from our true identity and purpose by the devices, designs, and imagining's of Satan. I printed in your bulletin 2 Corinthians 2:11. Let's read it together. Here we go. To keep Satan from gaining the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Well, the truth is, many of us are ignorant of his designs, his devices. Designs are traps or a strategy designed for a particular purpose. Satan's devices are designed to steal, kill, and destroy you, your identity and purpose in life. Now, let me give you a few of these designs and devices that are out there which you may be ignorant of. There is a constant, aggressive market approach to entice you to spend your money on products or entertainment, and a lot of the enticements are designed in hell to put you in bondage to your bills and to bring you to points of failure and defeat. Now, the purpose of a lot of the stuff in this world is devised for attrition, to wear you down, to bring you to weariness, doubt, frustration, anger, unforgiveness, discouragement, and it all intensifies at this time of the year, so that decision by decision, moment by moment, here a little, there a little, we are brought down. We get neutralized, paralyzed, confused, broken, and the ultimate purpose is really our destruction. Now, the weapons and devices of Satan are packaged very pretty, because nobody in their right mind would get involved with something that says, this way to hell. And if he can't nail you by external devices, then he starts working on your mind. He will destroy your identity and purpose with thoughts and imaginings. Read with me 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5 and 11 to 3. Here we go. For though we live in the world, we are not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. But I am afraid that as the servant deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Satan comes to bewitch you in your thoughts and imaginings. He raises doubts and fears in us. He twists our thinking towards one another to bring disharmony, discontent, envy, jealousy, pride, disrespect. He haunts our minds and raises up dragons to come up against us in our heads and our hearts. Some of us have a haunting sense of failure or inadequacy or insecurity. Doubts grow in us. Our thoughts turn into imaginings. And our imaginings are like dragons. They are bigger than life, and we read into events and words and actions of people things that aren't there. Fears rise up in us like huge monsters. Our doubts grow into monolithic walls that can't be broken down. The intensity increases. And it's all in our heads, and it is like smoke. You can't really get a handle on it. You don't know where they come from. Thoughts and imaginings. Dragons of the mind. Which give us a feeling of inadequacy, of failure, of decay, of lost hope, of disillusionment, of doubts and fears. And they are placed there by Satan for a purpose. To destroy our identity in Jesus Christ and our God-given purposes in life. They are placed there to neutralize us, paralyze us, and ultimately to destroy us. The basic thought can be like this simple. Well, that's a wasted day. Therefore, I must be living wasted months and years. And therefore, my life is a wasted life. And as all of us know, this time of year brings everything to a fever pitch. And Satan is alive and well, and he is active in your life. And to tell you the truth, the satanic activity in our lives would be enough to deal with in terms of devices and thoughts and designs to keep us distracted at times from our identity and purpose in Jesus. But that isn't all that we have to deal with. We have to deal with this world in which we live. We are bothered to death by the world around us, which seeks to wear us down and destroy our identity and purpose as God's people as well. Let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Now, I have it in the King James Version here. And that's for a reason, because it has a word in it that's really important that is not seen in other translations. So let's read it together. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We are bothered to death by the world, and the intensity of that botheration increases during the Christmas season. We live in much the same kind of world as Mary and Joseph. Everything's changed, but nothing's different. Everything's different, but nothing's changed. The only thing that's really changed is the technology. And we live in that same kind of world. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This was a taxing situation. The world was taxing people. But not only taxes in the sense of having to pay a monetary tax, but taxed in the sense of stress and strain and weariness. The world does that to us as well. And it becomes more intense during the time of the birth of Jesus. This is a taxing time for almost all of us. About that time I hear amen. This time of the year creates a taxing time of stress for a lot of us, and we are kind of like pregnant Mary. We say, how come, Lord, if Jesus is inside of me and lives in me, why does all this stress and junk happen to me? Why do I have to put up with this world, especially since your son Jesus lives in me? We live in taxing times, just like Mary and Joseph. And just like Mary and Joseph, we may entertain the life of Jesus in our lives as well, but it's taxing. Let me tell you what goes through my mind when I hear these words, that all the world should be taxed. We are people subject to the taxation process of the world. We are bothered to death by a world that taxes us relentlessly. Three words express taxing situations: tax, customs, and duty. All are taxes. Taxation is a portion of what they taking what is a portion of yours, your property. Customs. Customs is taking a portion of what we import or export. Duty. Duty is a tax on something that belongs to you. Now, those three words are exactly the way life is and what gets taxed in our identity, who I am and my purpose, what I do. So the world taxes your identity and purpose in this life, and especially if you have Jesus growing in you like Mary. We use the word tax to express when we are stressed or strained or oppressed. We say, this is just too taxing. It sure has taxed my energy. It taxes my patience and my strength. And you know what taxes us physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually so much of the time? Why, it's customs and duty. Customs of our families, our churches, our society, our businesses, our town. Customs. And of course, the customs of going to parties and special programs and special events like we've got coming up and ways of families getting together. They tax our energy, our patience, our strength, not to mention who we are and what we're about, our customs, traditions. customs. And then there is the duty. We do our duty, and our duty weighs us down. This isn't a matter of sin. This is a matter of life. We do our duty in going to parties, in special events, in family gatherings that we have, in all kinds of things, don't we? We do our duty. And it taxes us, doesn't it? And we think, if God is inside me, why, oh, why do I have to endure this taxing situation and do my duty? So the world bothers us to death, and we feel sometimes like a deer being chased by a pack of dogs with the possibility of being dragged down and killed, and this world can do it to you. Now, if that weren't enough, we are ultimately bewildered, confused, baffled, mystified, buffaloed, thrown off balance, and shocked by our own sin. There is not one of us who, when the stress of the times begin to hit, is not caught in our own weaknesses or our own faults and our own tendency, dare I say it, to be mean as a snake. We say things that we wish we could take back. We do things that hurt other people. It's all because there's something inside of us that goes off like a bomb because of all the stress that's on us, because it's so taxing, and the distractions come from Satan, they come from the world around us, and then through our own neglect or sheer carelessness, we tear things up. And then we echo the words of the Apostle Paul, if we understand our bewildering, sinful part of our nature, we echo his words. And I have them printed. Read with me Romans 7, 17 to 24. Just stop there. Don't read past there. Here we go. So then it is no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me. That is, in my flesh, I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin which dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin, which dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who indeed? Who can deliver us from our sinful nature so that we don't destroy our own identity and purpose? Who indeed? Who can deliver us from the evil one who seeks to entice us and trap us with the things of this world, or who tries to destroy us with our own thoughts and imaginings? Who indeed? Who can deliver us from this world that taxes us relentlessly through taking our identity and purpose and makes us become identified with the world and its purposes? Who indeed? Why, Jesus, of course. Read with me the rest of this, 7:25 and the two verses in 8. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We know that in everything God works for good with those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. His purpose is your purpose. Your identity is in Jesus. You are a child of God if Jesus lives in you. That's your identity and purpose. So we are bewitched by the wiles of Satan. We are bewildered by the taxing customs and duties of the world. And we are bewildered by our own sinful tendencies. But the way we keep our identity as a child of God and our purpose of delivering Jesus into this world is through keeping our focus on Jesus and following the pathway that He lights for us in this life. When it comes to Satan and his devices, Don't be ignorant of them, and use God's word as a sword to ward off the devices designed to destroy our identity and purpose in Jesus. When it comes to our thoughts and our imaginings, bring them to Jesus and take them captive and make them subject to Jesus. When it comes to the taxing situations of this world, make sure you keep moving towards that place where you will be delivered and where you will deliver the Jesus who lives in you into your world. Your identity is that you carry the life of Jesus in you just like Mary. And your purpose is to get to the place where you deliver Jesus to the world, your Bethlehem. You keep moving, and when you get there, you watch what God will do. And God will show His glory through you. When it comes to the bewilderment of your own sin, you keep bringing that sin to the cross, and you ask Jesus to help you become more like Him. You ask Him to take the sinful nature and bend it towards His purpose in your life. You ask Him that your identity would be decreased, that His identity would be in you, would be increased. You ask Him that your will would decrease, that His will, His purpose for your life would increase. The way to defeat Satan in your life is to be in the Word of God. The way to discover the truth about the world is to stay in touch with God's people through the worship of the church, fellowship, and study. The way to live a life in which our sinful nature is decreased is to let the life of Jesus flow through us more and more. This season is tough for a lot of people, probably all people. Because the intensity of life increases, we are bewitched by Satan, we are bothered by a taxing world in which we live, and we are bewildered by our own sinful nature and failures, but thanks be to God for His Son Jesus, who in the times of our lives and the seasons of our lives was born into our world and into our lives. Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand the seasons in which we live. And as we bring ourselves to You this day, in Jesus' name.